Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Hi, my name is Roberta Victor, and I'm Executive Director of Cross Outreach. I want to thank you for the opportunity to share a virtual message with you today. With the recent derecho storm and subsequent power outages, I've been thinking more about light and the challenges of darkness. Living without electricity for 4 very long, hot August days was a real challenge. It was a challenge for me and for thousands of Iowans as well. And while I didn't like it very much, maybe the silver lining was that it served as a reminder of what so many of my clients at Cross Outreach experience when hard times come their way and they must choose between paying their utility service or the rent, their food or their medicine. I have with me today a candle holder. I've had it for several years, and it served me very well during the recent storm, providing light in my living room during those 4 dark summer nights, with MidAmerican working round the clock to restore our power. And I wanted to share this object because it reminds me of God's light. So often in the scriptures, the image of light is associated with God's word, salvation, goodness, truth, and, well, with life itself. In Psalm, David declared God to be his light and salvation. God was the light that guided and led David through dark and difficult times of persecution. Darkness being the symbol of distress, troubles, challenges, and sorrows. And light, quite simply, the opposite of these. God provided David with light, filling him with confidence and chasing away his fears, just as God's presence offers to all of us. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is from Psalm 139, 1 through 12. It defines God's inescapable presence in our lives. The word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. May God's blessing be added to the reading of these words. A woman's quivery voice on the end of the phone message said, "Can you help me? I'm scared and I don't know what to do."
And even though I receive many, many phone requests every day through my job at Cross Outreach, this woman's voice stood out, apart from the others. And it's not that I don't receive my fair share of anxiety-filled callers. It was just that something in this woman's voice contained a note of desperation that was a notch above the rest. Maggie had tested positive for COVID-19 a couple of months prior. She was hospitalized in April and May and was now living with her son in an extended stay motel with nowhere to go. Unable to work for such a long time, she was also dealing with stage 4 kidney failure. And both Maggie and her son had caught the virus early on. Fortunately, her son is young and healthy, and he improved quickly. Maggie, however, was still struggling with a wide range of leftover symptoms, made even worse by the kidney disease and poor overall health. Low on resources, the mother and son were pretty much out of options on getting caught up on their rent. Her son, in his late teens, is her primary caregiver, and they do not own a car, and due to the COVID-related problems, were unable to take an Uber or other forms of transportation to her numerous dialysis appointments. Instead, a medical transport arrives 3 times a week to take her to and from the hospital. Her most urgent problem was that she needed to pay the rent, and she didn't have the resources to do so. And like so many that come to Cross for help, her rental situation didn't fit neatly into that standard criterion of qualifications that would permit her to seek help from mainstream COVID crisis funding programs. If they lost the housing, they would be out on the street. But if that happened, the medical transport would not pick her up and drop her off due to the risk factor. This woman needed some help, and she needed it fast. And although what we had to offer wasn't a long-term solution to a very complicated situation, what we were able to help with was to make sure that her housing was paid for the month, that she would not be evicted, that she would continue her medical treatments, and that her and her son would not be separated. You might say Cross had her back. And when you look at the scripture lesson from Psalm 139, 1 through 12, there are a lot of messages contained in that short passage, but I think my biggest takeaway is this, that God has our backs. Now, that doesn't mean that we never have to deal with life's problems, but it does assure us that God's steadfast presence is always a part of our lives, that God knows us and still loves us, and that no matter what we are dealing with or where we go, God is still there. That's a real comfort. The psalmist wrote, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol," which is the Hebrew word for the place of the dead, "you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." This passage from Psalms reminds me of a story that my mother told me about her and her father when she was just a little girl. She grew up in a small village where her house was less than a block from her uncle's grocery store. and being allowed to walk to the grocery store was a sign of independence, something that only a big girl was allowed to do. But my mother was only around 3 years old at that time. And as the story goes, her father sent her to the store, supposedly by herself, to purchase a box of shredded wheat cereal. Now, when she arrived at the store, even before she could utter a single word, her uncle reached behind the counter and handed her the box of cereal. And she was so startled that he knew what she wanted even before she had a chance to ask. And then, as she started back toward her house, out of the corner of her eye, she saw her dad duck behind something. And as it turned out, he had been following her the whole way, watching over her and making sure that she was safe. Sometimes I think God's love is a little bit like that, letting us have our freedom to live our lives, but still, God is watching over us, knowing us intently and yet still loving us. God has our back. And I truly believe that God works through people and situations, and I would have to say that that is basically what the founders had in mind when they created Cross Outreach. With God's grace, with God's blessing, we try to have the backs of the clients. We can't answer every need, every want, but we do what we can with the resources that we have available, making a difference in people's lives and providing help with compassion. Cross was developed in the mid-1970s as the Presbytery's response to the growing needs of low and no-income people throughout the metro area. It was later expanded to serve all of Polk County. And Cross has been through many transitions over the years, but our core focus and values have not changed. We are dedicated to preventing at-risk people from losing their housing or utility services. Now, 2020 has been a challenging year, but we are still committed to providing emergency financial assistance as we are able. So let me share with you some of our experiences to date. The week of March 9th through the 13th was a troubling week as we listened to the news of the COVID crisis unfolding before our very eyes. And on Monday, March 16th, I met with all of my regularly scheduled clients for the day and then quickly made the decision to pack up my office, my computer, my work cell phones, my critical files, and any paperwork that I might need for the next couple of weeks. And at that point, I still believed it was going to be a short-term situation. My husband, a Wells Fargo employee, was sent home from his job that very same day due to being in a high-risk category. And the two of us loaded up my car and then set everything up in my home office so there wouldn't be any lapse in services for the families that we serve. It was an odd feeling that day as we packed up my office. Many of my colleagues in the building where Cross rents office space were doing the same thing, packing their computers and files so that they could work remotely from their home. And we all joked nervously and said our goodbyes to one another, not knowing when we would be back. The first and most important task that I had to do was to develop a new method and very quickly to process at-risk clients that didn't involve face-to-face meetings. And I set up a new email account to receive documents, and thankfully our two office phones are cell phones that can work from anywhere. And fortunately, most of the clients have mobile phones too. So communicating through phone interviews and online documents wasn't a problem. Landlords and utility companies easily provide documents online. So verifying client needs and information was a simple switch. The first 30 days are pretty much of a blur as I fielded phone calls and emails from an overwhelming number of desperate families. Businesses were rapidly closing, and as a result, incomes were disappearing. And families living paycheck to paycheck were left with nothing to fall back on, nothing to pay the rent and utilities as they came due. Taking the little bit of money that they had, families wrestled with the decisions of what to do. Do you pay the rent? Do you pay towards the utilities, buy some food or medicine, or tend to other family needs? And one single mom experienced some health problems and hadn't been able to work most of the month of February. And because her job was contract labor, there was no paid time off. And once her health improved, she found a job at McDonald's and was scheduled to start mid-March, but then that's when the virus spread. And at the point at which she came to the Cross office, or came to Cross and asked for help, then this mother and her kids had been living without any income whatsoever for more than a month. As the desperate cries for help filled the Cross voicemail and email, it was harder than ever to step away from my home office. In those early days with everyone's emotions so raw, I would always take one more phone call, answer one more email plea for help. Calls for assistance were averaging 45 families a day. Where do you draw the line? In the midst of a world health pandemic, massive closures, and social distancing. And during that first month, I assisted more than twice the number of households that we typically help in a one-month period. So that led to the second issue on my radar, which was funding for Cross. And as the stock market tumbled and the economy collapsed, I knew that we were going to be headed for some budget problems, and I worried that donations would drop. I engaged the help of my husband and my 96-year-old mom, who lives with us, and we prepared 300 donation request letters. I called it the Victor Family Sweatshop, as everyone folded and stuffed and labeled and stamped envelopes to send out donation requests to our supporters. And we also applied for some funding from other sources. Greg Smith applied for a $5,000 grant for Cross through the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. And a board member, Dean Neihart, applied for the CARES Act to help with a small forgivable payroll loan. And as the COVID crisis continued, in late April, sadly, Westminster Presbyterian Church obviously had to cancel the fifth annual Trivia Night and Silent Auction fundraiser for Cross. It is our biggest fundraising event of the year. And then in May, we realized that the back-to-school giveaway was in jeopardy as well. We typically begin our preparations in spring and early summer for the August event. Decisions had to be made quickly. And we knew that holding an event with 1,500 kids, you know, their parents, and more than 75 volunteers was obviously not a safe choice. And we also knew that the kids were still going to need these supplies, whether or not they continued their studies from home or school. In the current economy, the need would be even greater. But what supplies would they need the most this year? So we decided to turn to the experts at the Des Moines Public Schools. Cross board member Susan Van Essen reached out to the Success Program coordinator, and a list of much needed supplies was generated. An order was placed, and the supplies are being delivered to the school system. They will then distribute the items directly to the at-risk kids. Board member Joyce Hoffman from Heartland Presbyterian recruited her church members to sew face masks in all sizes to donate to the kids to help flatten the curve. Many of the clients that I work with at Cross have an increased vulnerability to the COVID virus. Research shows that being low income is associated with a higher rate of chronic health conditions, such as diabetes and heart disease. Both are factors that increase their vulnerability. And due to the lack of resources to prepare and protect against the coronavirus, the poor can also face a higher risk of contracting and then spreading the virus. We know that poverty disproportionately affects Black and Latino families, immigrant and refugee families. Many of the people that we help through CROSS fit in this category as well. Early on, people were told to stay home when they became sick, purchase extra food and essential medications, disinfect surfaces frequently, and while these measures are within the reach of middle and upper income families, they are often insurmountable obstacles for people who live at or below the poverty line. The very idea that someone relying on food stamps or disability income or simply a low income person will have enough money to stock up on 2 weeks worth of food and basic supplies just is not realistic. I have seen this as a factor again and again as I work with struggling households. One such household included a man with disabilities whose income is around $783 a month. A family member that serves as his caretaker said that when the crisis hit, they used the little bit of money that he had to purchase his medical supplies, his cleaning supplies, adult diapers, emergency food reserves, just as was being recommended. But then he didn't have enough money to pay his rent. Cross helped out with the portion needed to get him caught up. And as with most of life's storms, there are some silver linings too. It quickly became clear that interviewing our clients for assistance over the phone with emailed documents made it easier on the people that we serve. Clients didn't have to beg rides from friends or family to make an appointment at the Cross office. They didn't have to come up with bus fare or car gas money or worry about broken down undependable vehicles or the child getting sick and then missing the appointment altogether. Across the county, various social service agencies, including Polk County General Assistance and Impact Community Action Partnership, have all arrived at the same conclusion. Working remotely is actually in the best interest of the struggling families that we serve. And serving as the hands of God Cross Outreach is there, helping to make a difference. We try to reassure the clients, we've got your back. And in the midst of the COVID crisis, as the losses keep mounting, in the midst of the pain of racial unrest across our nation, in the midst of uncertainty and fear, the words of the psalmist of old offer these words of assurance to each and every one of us. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. The psalmist's words bolster our spirits and give us hope. And even in the bleakest of days, God says, have trust in me. Believe in me. I'm not going anywhere. I've still got your back. And with God's help and blessing, with the help of the churches and donors and the faith community, Cross has the backs of the struggling men and women and children in our midst. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.